Everybody's got their packet in front of them. Wait for Gus to get seated. And we'll start with getting an approval of the agenda. There's no changes to the agenda.
So moved.
A move and a second. Are you here seconding?
Yeah.
Rick second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the minutes are also in the packet. And if there's no change in the minutes, we're going to motion to approve.
So moved.
And a second. Anybody want a second?
Second.
And second. And all in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. And we'll just go right to item four. It's our wildlife update from Jim.
Not a whole lot to tell you. I told you this the last meeting. We're down to three deer on the airport that are pretty wily creatures, so we're having a hard time finding them, which is a good thing. We'll probably not do another permit this year. We'll take care of those in the fall with regular hunting type operations.
What happens to the deer?
They go to Sportsmen Against Hunger. Most of them. There were a few that, for one reason or another, we couldn't do that, and they got buried.
Okay. So, thank you.
And then we did chase five out, so they weren't all dispatched. Let's see what else. It's goose nest and egg hunting season. I've already got my first nest. No eggs in it, so we'll keep looking. Normally we don't find eggs until towards the end of April, so we'll keep doing that. Have started doing something, marking all the places where I find the nest on GPS through our GIS system, so we'll have a record going forward. Started it last year of where we're finding the nest, so we can go back to those locations. Actually, the one I found today was pretty close to the one I found last year, so. So we'll see.
How do you find those?
They're normally along the ditch banks and close to the water that we have out here.
Very close to Lake Jim.
So once they start sitting on them, you get close to them, they'll let you know. But that's our event for right now. Do have at least one other critter out there that. It isn't really a hazard to airplanes, but we have beaver in the ditch out there someplace. So starting to see a bunch of trees being gnawed down. Mm-hmm. But we'll see about those. And we did see a fox running around the runway the other day. So a little bit of everything.
What about buzzards? Are we allowed to do anything with the buzzards?
We don't have any kind of permit to do the buzzards. I go out and chase them if they're just sitting around, and they normally go away. But, you know, once they're up there circling and there's not a whole lot we can do with them. Any questions on wildlife?
Any questions for Jim?
Have we had many bird strikes?
Nothing's been reported.
We had a couple last year. Yeah. One was a vulture.
Yeah, but not nothing.
But he was like 4 miles away.
Nothing so, recent, though.
Yeah.
Nothing this year.
No. That was all last year. I'm sure we get busier in the summertime. Things will happen.
Somebody was on the radio Sunday. They were talking about how many buzzards were off the runway.
Yep.
Warning somebody else coming in. We took a seagull, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, on Mitchell, on takeoff, and it knocked the panel out in front of the bombardier's nose of the airplane, and there were feathers and seagull feathers all the way back past the bomb bay. Seagulls do a lot of damage at about 130 miles an hour.
All right, so any other questions for Jim on item four?
Item four, okay.
All right, we'll move on
to
item five, Jim.
Item five. Okay, airport update. For those of you that don't know, the airport manager is retiring this year in October. We've already started looking for a replacement for him. it's actually got a lot of interest in the job, a lot of good candidates, so we'll keep you posted on all that. The plan that I've been told is we'll have plenty of overlap to train whoever my replacement is, and so the right now the week after Wings and Wheels will be my last week. So. Surprise. Instrument approaches. I think last time I told you runway, we had problems with the RNAV to runway 4. It was actually runway 22. They had increased the minimums, the altitude that you can go down to on the approach by 20 feet. And I thought maybe it had something to do with obstructions. It actually had to do with instead of using the elevation of the runway end, they used the elevation of the touchdown zone, which was different by 2 feet, and that threw everything off by 20 feet. So, which is actually good news that we didn't have an obstruction that we missed out there, and made us look a little bit better. And then I heard about their flight checking both the VORs, the runway 4 and 22. So, and I haven't heard anything since. They didn't change any minimums since then, so I guess that all went pretty well. The clearance delivery radio, I think we've got that pretty well solved, except for over on taxiway C. It seems like people that call from over there have a hard time, and I'll talk to our radio guys about if they can tweak that up a little bit or something. But I heard the one today took off and then got his clearance because he couldn't talk to him. The rotating beacon is out of service right now. It's the second time in a couple weeks. It's just the light comes on, but it doesn't turn. So we're waiting for the guy to show up to go up there and get it to turn. So we'll keep you posted on that. The taxiway D project, which somebody asked me to bring in the picture, which is hanging up behind you here. That's the parallel to the crosswind runway, runway 1028. So it'll be that taxiway. We expect to see construction starting probably the second week in April. They're going to start showing up with equipment and supplies and stuff in the next few days. So that project will probably go through November by the time they get everything striped and all that. There will be some runway closures with that.
10-2-8.
Yeah, it won't affect 422 at all. But while they're working close to the runway, they're going to have to shut it down. And they have it phased out so that, you know, the times that they're working there are planned out to minimize the time.
Would you give a point of reference of where that is in relation to this building?
We're in the upper left corner.
Here's terminal building right here.
Restaurant.
Yeah. So Park Avenue runs along the bottom of the picture.
Fire Marshal's office is right over here.
Okay, good. Thank you.
There's some drainage pipes that have to be replaced in the infield area that'll take place during all this. So, let's see. Like I said, wrap it up in November, and most of that. There's a month we have to wait between the initial striping of the runway and then the final striping. So the last 30 days or so, we're just waiting around. So it'll be done.
Are they going to repaint 10-2-8's numbers?
Just initial? It's about gone.
They're gone.
I don't think they're gone. They're dirty. And I've been trying to find somebody to come out and that can power wash them. I'm still working on that.
I don't know. They look like they're gone.
Why would that paint be dirty?
If you look at 422, it outside of the grooved area where the water sits, it's just as dirty as 1028, or almost as dirty because it hasn't been there as long. But
it's just hard to read from the air. Whether it's dirty or whether it's hard to read on the ground.
Yeah, no, I understand. And it was last year we did a reflectivity test on it, and it was way above standards for the initial application. You know, so it's like I said, it's just dirty.
Okay.
But we do have money in the budget to do some striping this year, so we're going to try to get that done before the 1st of July.
I've noticed it out there several times.
That's Northrop Grumman's stuff.
Okay. In other words, don't ask.
Yeah. Let's see. The taxiway lighting project, which is Rick's project, I'll let him explain all that to you.
It will begin, work will begin actually in the month of May.
And this is taxiway A, the main taxiway out in front of all the stuff over on this side, pretty much.
Yeah. And what we're doing is a LED light replacement. Incandescent lights on taxiway A, LED lights, and also the condo wiring. Which make it much more reliable. We're starting those problems now. So that will take, start in May, that will probably take 2 or 3 months. And there will be probably a couple taxiway closures at certain points along the project. Getting those south belt forms in the work with the tenants.
And it'll also add taxiway lights on the side that doesn't have taxiway lights right now. So on this side of the taxiway.
Is that the main?
The main main taxiway.
That would be. It'll be this taxiway that goes parallel to the main room.
Parallel to the building.
Yeah.
Parallel
to
the north end. Between the terminal and the runway.
Sides where the lights on.
Thank you. Hopefully it'll catch up with the runways.
Yeah, that's right. The precision approach path indicator lights got replaced. The Pappies, that was also Rick's project. Rick and his guys did a great job getting it done ahead of schedule and without a whole lot of disruption. And if you were out here, the days that they were out there working was like 15 degrees out or whatever it was. Deserve a lot of credit for getting that done. The Pappy lights, those are the four red lights along the side of the runway that show the pilots whether they're on the glide path or not. The other project that we're working on, and we're waiting for a schedule, is to move the ASOS, the weather reporting equipment that is now in the terminal building, moving the old terminal building into the new terminal building where it was supposed to be moved 10 years ago. So it's another one of Rick's projects, but we've got all the agreements signed. It's an FAA project. We have to reimburse them for it. It's about $33,000 or so.
What?
Yep.
Now, what's the purpose of moving it?
Get it out of that building, for one.
Yeah, where it is in the building now is prone to leaking, and
yeah,
if we get
the building's dilapidated.
It's holding the building up.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wouldn't imagine. I agree.
But actually, when the new terminal building was built, there was a little room built in there for that equipment, which we've since filled with other stuff. And so now it's going to go out in the main area in that back room with all the other electrical equipment.
Fill up the pilot's lounges, et cetera.
Yeah.
Let me ask some of the other guys about this. Have y'all noticed that thing seems to be a lot more reliable in what it's reporting than it used to be?
Yes.
It used to be on a day like this, it would say it was overcast and 7 foot rain.
Rain.
You still occasionally report rain on days like today, but it's not as bad as it used to be.
No, it's that, and also with that female voice, and then it's that the male voice that comes over after and gives you the weather. That's the only one left around here I know of.
I haven't been able to do anything about that.
That's fine. When you hear that.
I enjoy Susan's.
Well, I'm just saying, when you hear that, you know you're on the right frequency.
You don't like taking orders from a woman. Just admit it.
I like it.
That's what it is.
I want it on the record. I like it. Don't let this in the guts, all right?
Okay, so that.
It just seems to be a lot more reliable than it used to be. It used to be, I'd never believe anything it said. I'd always get in, you call everybody else and see what real weather is, because whatever was here was not what whatever was reporting was
wind
not what real
missing.
Weather was.
You know, like wind missing.
The last time I talked to the technician, I think he told me they've pretty much replaced everything out there. So,
the only thing that I've questioned is sometimes the wind, listening to what it says, seems like it might be about 20 degrees off from the way the socks sit.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, 20, 30 degrees.
Okay. Maybe some of the interference around it might want to build it, just get it into more of an open area. Where's the sensor for?
The sensors are
on that
10
building?
Yards away from the sock.
Yeah. Oh, they're already out there.
The National Weather Service owns all that weather equipment out in the front there.
Calibrate, they're in charge of calibration.
And that's who takes care of that equipment. And then it gets fed over to the the old terminal building to all that equipment, and it gets sent out by the radio or the telephone, which you can call into. And that's FAA equipment. The only thing we're waiting on is for them to get the check from us, because they won't do anything without the money first. So the check's supposed to go out next week, and as soon as they get that, we'll get a schedule. I don't think it's that long of a project.
Sure.
Okay. That's that. Over in the business park, we've pretty much gotten started on extending Baltimore Avenue across the railroad tracks and into the other part of the business park. They've been out there digging up the stumps and everything from one of the pad sites, and then also they've been out there today digging the one stub road across from Atlantis. So, and I forget what the overall schedule is on that, but probably the middle of April, you'll see some work around the railroad tracks. Need to kind of replace the rail system there where the road's going to cross. And we've been working with the tenants over there, just the one, Willie Propane, that relies on the tracks, so, working around his schedule. On May 8th, the FAA is going to be here to do a land use inspection, which is basically, it's a compliance check on, you know, how we're meeting our grant assurances. So it kind of focuses on how the property is used. So we've sent them all our leases. They've had them for about a month now to go through and, you know, look for things like, are we getting fair market value for non-aeronautical properties? You know, are the hangars being used for aeronautical purposes, et cetera? So with more to come on that, but I said May 8th, they'll be here. I did talk to the inspector when he set it up, and he had done quite a bit of research on the airport already, and he did compliment us on our policy documents, especially the rules and regulations and the minimum standards. So he had done some research there. And then I want to thank Susan for all the work she did getting all those leases together, because there's quite a few, and they're little spread out, and you get these leases that were 30 years old, and they've been assigned and amended, and took quite a bit of work. So, the next big grant project for the year is our master plan update. The last one was completed in 2007, so with all the changes, we thought it'd be time to get that done. We're in the process of selecting a consultant for that. Probably have a decision sometime next month on who that's going to be, and then we'll negotiate a contract and get that started. That'll be our FAA project for this year. And it's probably going to take about 12 months, 12, 14 months to do, because it's quite an involved process. You know, it'll have a lot of public involvement. One of the first things that they'll do is identify stakeholders that'll be involved with the process. So I would imagine the committee for one, Aloft for another, and probably Georgetown Air Services, and plus whoever else makes sense. But it does take a lot of public involvement to get this thing done. Let's see. And then lastly, for those of you who haven't heard, September 14th and 15th, we're going to have our first balloon festival here at the airport, put on by Sussex Academy. It's a fundraiser for them. This is going to be a little bit different than Wings and Wheels. This is all going to take place on the other side of the airport, in the grassy area, in that area between the taxiway and Aloft, down kind of in that corner, about the lower half of that. All the parking will be over in the business park, using the truck driving school range and part of Aloft's parking lot. It's a two-day event. I think they're planning on three balloon launches, plus the evening glow where they all do their thing at, you know, at dusk and that kind of thing. They'll have tethered balloon rides and then the untethered balloon rides that they'll be selling ahead of time. Vendors, kind of like what you see for Wings and Wheels, and
probably similar to what Milton used to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Wagner is involved, yeah. And they've got a balloon meister from over in Maryland. That's kind of the head honcho of the balloon stuff. But they'll have entertainment and food vendors and all that.
What days were they?
The 14th and 15th of September.
And that's also okay. The same weekend as the air show building.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
They originally were going to do it the following weekend, but that's the weekend of the Adirondack Balloon Festival that all the balloon people around here go to. So I guess there's only two balloons in Delaware, so they have to draw from all over, and those guys are pretty tied up during the fall.
So. Are they still looking for other balloonists? I have a friend just across the bay in New Jersey who keeps his balloon up here in the summer and takes it to Florida in winter.
Yeah, I would imagine. I kind of think that they all talk to each other because there's not that many of them. But
I don't know. I've never been in one.
Yeah. You know, kind of like the Warburg guys. They all seem to know each other.
Just submit it, and I'll just pass on the contact information for the event. If you will, just shoot an email with that, and I'll forward it on to Dave, because he's just across the bay over in Delaware. But I don't know how in touch he is with all the other balloon people or not. He was with all of them that last year at that Sun Fund when they were having a big morning balloon launch. Mm.
But it should be a pretty good event. Person that's running it has run some very big events around here and done very well. So.
About how many balloons do you guess would come?
They're guessing like 12 or 13.
I was gonna say over here in Milton, Doug, they used to get
Yep.
There'd be a lot.
Gino did a good job. She did the Dragon Boat Festival in Lewis.
Yeah. Sea Witch. She's on Sea Witch.
Is there a tourism aspect or tie into that kind of event? Is that something that draws people in?
2-day event, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Has she been talking to you at all?
Or? Yes.
Okay.
That was going to be my next question. So is she planning to get the word out?
We've been in touch. We've been planning some things. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Very good.
Yeah. Yep. The schedule for the taxiway project that I saw, and it's probably going to change now that it's slipped a couple weeks, but 1028 was going to be closed down for that weekend because of construction, so it would have worked out real nice. But we're not planning any runway closures during the event. There's just going to be a notice to airmen out that says lots of balloons flying around the airport. They're a legitimate aeronautical activity. It's just a little more to consider. So, and they're only going to launch, like I said, three times, and they'll have the tethered balloon up 60 feet or so.
Can't see enough
balloons. more to come on that. Anybody got any questions? That's pretty much my list.
I did have one question.
Yep.
I was at the Sussex Women's Republican Club today, and I got asked a question about when. I was telling them you're still adding on to runways. Do you know, is there any kind of schedule for that, this runway here to be lengthened out?
Yes.
Like you were talking about?
I think it's like 2023.
Okay.
Del Dotson is in design now for moving Park Avenue. I've seen him out there across the street, or across from Mrs. Tindall's house with stakes and doing something. I'm not sure what, but...
What's that thing that you said at the end of the runways or past the runway,
the
space?
Runway protection zone, okay. The RPZ. So, we were just talking about it today. That based on all that schedule, we probably not need to start thinking about our environmental assessment for the runway extension. So it's things are happening.
Environmental assessment.
It means a lot to these folks because the longer the runway is, the bigger the aircraft thing you need here to work on.
Well, it's exactly because a lady that asked me this question, her daughter works for, it's either FedEx or UPS, and was asking me about the possibility of, you know, I'm all for it, mm-hmm. but I don't know what. I'd love to see one or both of them in here.
Yeah.
Right now they operate out of Salisbury.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've talked to them in the past, and. You know, the kind of airplanes that they have don't require a long runway.
Is that okay?
They're running
yeah,
Sussex Caravans.
Okay.
Which is a big system.
Okay.
Real big system, but it's still a big system.
Okay.
So they can operate off the Troy.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, bigger airplanes, now you're talking about ramp space and some other problems that we have. But runway length basically is going to help aloft, and it also helps the larger corporate jets that we get in here that would like to go farther, but can't because of the runway length.
A lot of insurance companies won't insure the aircraft because it's not a certain size runway. That's where these folks run into. They can probably land, physically do it, but it's the problem with the insurance companies.
I think we had an airplane last summer that was going to Greece and it had to go out of Wilmington because we weren't long enough. But if we had the 6,000 feet of runway, isn't that what they told us?
Just this past, a couple of days ago, we had an aircraft that wouldn't come. It went to Salisbury, it was G550. And it wouldn't come in because we were 5,500 foot runway, and so they went to Salisbury. Different companies operate different ways. We've had G550s in here before. We have 737s, and I explained that to them. So, our company procedures, we don't land anything less than 6,000 feet with our plane. So, we're going to Salisbury. So, that was that.
Yeah.
Can't argue with
more
that.
Growth here.
Yeah.
Better off we'd be.
Yeah. I mean, everybody talks about, you know, how big of an airplane could we get if we had a longer runway. Well, you know, it's not the size of the airplane. It's more the range and, like Garrett said, some of the insurance requirements and things that people don't realize.
Any other questions for Jim?
Do you guys have like operations coordinators, like a staff that handle like daily like wildlife control and, you know, the tenants and stuff going out in the airfield? As far as like inspecting the fuel trucks and stuff like that?
Well, that'd be my business. I own the FBO, and those are our fuel trucks. Are you just talking about the QC on the trucks and just
yes,
daily
just like
interactions?
Daily
interactions with flight departments. And yeah, we handle all that.
And are you guys Part 139 certified?
No.
Okay.
Any other questions for Jim? So item 6 is my topic. This is something that came up last month. At the last meeting, a member of the committee brought this up, said that there had been, that individual had some questions from the public about a flight school and how to get flight training here at the airport. We don't currently have any real options for the public to engage in flight training. So we thought we would discuss that at our meeting this month and decide if the committee would like to make a formal recommendation for Jim to take to the council an RFP to put the word out that the airport is looking for a flight school. So that is this topic. And I'm opening up for discussion to see if we, as a committee, think that's something that the airport needs, and if so, make a motion to have Jim move forward with going to council to issue an RFP.
This is the ideal airspace for good flight training. And that's one thing when you go up to our B-25 flight training, it's one thing that people love about it is this is the perfect place to do that. You don't have control towers close by, you don't have a lot of Class C or Class B airspace anywhere near here. It's the perfect place to do that. Gary, have you ever thought anything more about
it? Well, it's perfect in some sense, but there's not really a facility to operate a flight school. There's not, you know, the building is, our terminal building is completely full. There's not really the dedicated classroom space, briefing areas that the flight school would like to have. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pursue the idea, but it's perfect from just an airspace sense.
Weather is an issue, though. You go to Florida every day. Charlie Pickering tells me every day down there is VFR sometime during the day. Here we get 3 or 4 days of being soft in.
True. You get on the radio and you can't understand anything that the 500 people on the radio are trying to say because they're all from China and Indonesia and Nigeria and everywhere else doing flight training. and it's getting unsafe.
Down in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Last weekend. That's one thing we were talking about. We were trying to do our 6158 checks, and you couldn't understand anybody. The controllers were getting so frustrated trying to talk to these people, because not they couldn't speak English well enough for the controllers to even understand.
Right.
So we're out there doing one after another instrument approaches into Melbourne, and then we went over to Kissimmee because Melbourne was just so bad.
Why would the county need to issue an RFP?
We don't need to, but I think they would put it out there that you know that we're looking.
A lot of trade publications. If you make a more formalized request, I mean, you could just make a few phone calls to some of the local people around on the Eastern Shore, which, and I'd done that a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago, probably 7, 8, 9 years ago, but you know, didn't really go anywhere.
I think probably one of the first steps would be like Del Tech to see if they want to expand their use out here or opportunities since they're already here.
Yeah. And we've tried to get Delaware State to put an airplane down here. And yeah.
Right. What about the schools that are here with Delaware Tech?
Yeah, why wouldn't they want to? That's
what cost? The cost is going to be is probably a big thing, investment in aircraft and everything like that. So.
And if they were going to set up a program, it would have to meet a higher standards than what a just you know if Rick wanted to start a flight school and teach people.
But their emphasis on the powertrain and the flight school that they would want to do it.
And it's critical to the life of the airport.
Yes.
Because somebody that has access, somebody that doesn't have access, ain't gonna learn to fly. Somebody that has access, you're gonna have people that learn to fly, and they're gonna be. A lot of people are going to end up staying around this area and they're going to use the airport. And you're going to get more use out of it and therefore more involvement. So I think it's a good thing. You know, we generate, you know, the younger generation can't afford the aircraft. But as they get more seasoned in life, they, you know, they prosper and do better. And, you know, that's where you get the core of the pilots. You know, looking at Gus and myself, and you know, we have two examples of that. You know,
can right? We rent planes?
That's up to the flight school.
Where do we put them?
It's a good question.
That's the problem Gary has right now.
Yep.
My first experience in a small plane was out of Easton Airport where my doctor took me up. I'd never been in a small plane, and he rented a plane and took me up. I thought, as I think about that, what an economic development, that push that is to the community.
Well, it winds up becoming a business decision for whoever you would be wanting to do it. So, you know, initially, it may be nothing but just, you know, somebody who does it part-time as a flight instructor, has their own Cessna that wants to, you know, do a little more formal flight training and try to expand it. But that's a business decision. Well, I think we ought to at least put it out that we would love to see somebody here. And just get, you know, some of these people to start looking at. Could even be that maybe somebody in Ocean City may want to come up here, you know, and get into a different environment. Who knows? But putting the word out that we'd love to see somebody, and they got an airport that would be friendly to a flight school and encourage them to, I think it'd be a great idea to put the word out. It doesn't cost us anything, and it's a business decision for somebody else. But we're just letting everybody know we got a nice airport here. This airport is. Lord, I remember when I first came up here, what a different place this place was. And now it's a really nice, you know, modern, up-to-date, well-equipped, well-run airport that we didn't have a number of years ago. And so there's people that may not even be thinking about coming back up here because they haven't seen the difference in the changes here.
There used to be a flight school at Cheswell. Is that still there? Other than the Del State?
Yeah, I mean, the Phil Air outfit is...
Yeah, it's more of a... It's hit and miss kind of with them, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got Cheswell, you got Ocean City, and you got Salisbury Place. And I don't know if there's anything in Houston.
Cheswell is recently updated, too. They got a whole new runway.
Don't do anything in Laurel, do they?
They used to, but I don't know.
I don't think so.
Since
I haven't done anything there
since...
Yeah.
That makes it tough.
The last time I
just skydived El Morro.
Yeah.
I get this going, somebody's going to say, what's the cost or what's the expense to the county, roughly? You know that's going to be one of the first questions asked.
Should be nothing.
Shouldn't be, really?
Yeah.
No, should be no cost to the county. It's a matter of trying to make it aware of some entrepreneur or businessman
sure.
to come here and set up a business. If anything, the county makes money out of because they get fuel flowage for Garrett.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Maybe rent a tea hanger. Pay Jeff for working on the airplanes. You know, you're bringing income into the airport without any additional cost to the airport or the airport owners.
Yeah, let's go break that up. We do have some minimum standards that are very minimal. Those of you that were here when we went through the process, it's basically you have to have an airplane and an instructor, and then meet the insurance requirements. We didn't put any requirements as far as facilities or anything when we did that, just because we wanted to make it easy to meet. But obviously, you want to have some place where you can sit down and talk to your students one-on-one without a lot of distractions. And
so. Has the county looked at expanding the land? I know we've expanded on the rented runways and clear zone, but over on the other side of the road here from this building, that land over there? I mean, that'd be a great place to put a flight school would be. You're not conflicting.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the updated master plan.
I know that land's been for sale for a while.
Yeah.
So it's just an opportunity.
If somebody wanted to put a trailer. and do a flight. I remember teaching a flight school years ago out of a trailer.
Yeah.
Is that something that you'd be open to?
If we had a place for it, yeah.
I mean, Daytona, they have storage. and they've converted a few couple storage places into offices, and they use that. So it's right there adjacent to the airport.
Yep.
Does the arenas have the room across from?
That's
that
part of their lease. Yeah.
I mean, I would walk before we run, and if we can get someone in here interested in identify an area.
Arenas is a pretty good deal with it. You see that room.
I mean,
somebody's
what's wrong with this space?
And say, we're going to be buying lunch from you every time we're here, whatever.
Right.
You got the ladies' bridge club. You got to deal with. They're in there three times a week.
I'd be open to somebody coming down using the hangar for a private area.
We could probably
there's all kinds of stuff here at the airport that could be it could probably shook out the bushes.
Mm-hmm. Well, this facility with some coordination could work. I don't know if it's ideal for a flight school. I don't know anything about a flight school, but
all you need is the dry board there, and you'll be fine. And a desk and a chair.
Mm-hmm. Listen about that. Would you be able to use this?
Mm-hmm.
This room right here.
With some coordination, I mean, they have annual, they have regular meetings here, but we can figure that out.
What are you looking for us from us on this subject?
I think what we need is probably a motion from some member that directs Jim to move forward to the council to, I guess, formally request an RFP.
Can I make a recommendation that we maybe not get as far into the details of an RFP and maybe contact council or work with council or work with the county to explore methods and opportunities to encourage flight school development here, or maybe development is not the right word, but attract a flight school, because I don't know that we understand, or maybe I'll speak for myself, I don't know that I understand what that means. I kind of hear what everyone's saying, but at some point we would look for him to put something together to come to me, to come to council, to then with a recommendation. So a motion tonight could be requesting Jim put something together. Maybe we come back to you with that recommendation from Jim, or we just skip that and go straight to council? Because if you trust Jim and his guidance.
I don't think there's anyone here that has spoken up against the idea.
Yeah.
I don't think there's so.
And I don't think we're talking about anything that critical that whatever we move forward.
Right.
This
is really part of marketing the airport.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, that's where you get your seeds. That's where people grow from.
Yep.
And
seed grows.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start there.
Some seeds will blossom and some seeds will just be seeds. Sure. You know, but until you get pilots trained, you're not going to get more younger aviation. And aviation is a dying breed. I mean, it's just because of cost and expense. So I mean, it's you know, it's 12,000 to 15,000 to get your private pilot's license now.
It's better to try than not.
12 to 15.
We haven't talked to the folks at AirVenture. We're having all the record attendance.
Yep.
Sign-in funds expecting a record.
But if you go down to Williamsburg and talk to the FBO there, they did a great job of promoting and trying to get, they collected funds, they went to different schools, they got different donations, and I think they're up to like 20 or 25 students at a time now.
That's awesome.
And that was just kind of self-propelled by everybody wanting to make it happen.
How far would it drop from people away, do you think?
Well, like I said, you got Ocean City now has a school, Salisbury has a school, Cheswell, from what we said here tonight, has a school. So, you know, you're going to have Sussex County plus
plenty of room here,
plus additional, yeah,
sure, plenty of space to draw from.
And a lot of people moving back into this area want to get their license or finish getting their ticket or want to get refreshed and brought back up to speed. So it's
a lot of retirees want a bucket list to cross off.
So you got enough direction to work off on?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay. Good discussion. Anything else? Item 7 is public comments. We have a couple members of the public. Anybody have any questions of the committee? Comments?
It's great input on the flight school. The only
you want
thing
identify?
That I might possibly bring up is if we're looking to try and bring in a school, is that a lot of the competition, you know, sites are outside of Delaware. Is there anything within Delaware's advantageous tax code that would help somebody who is considering developing an enterprise here? Just something to consider or look at. And I don't know enough about the facility, the airport here. Is there an entity here that can do the inspections that happen on a more aggressive interval when an aircraft is in commercial service as a training aircraft versus a private use?
Yeah, you have to do a 100-hour inspection over
plus
the annual inspection.
Right.
But they're basically the same type of inspection. That's the typical mechanic.
And that capacity or that capability exists here now?
Sussex Aero has the capacity to do that, yeah.
Great. And you're Sussex Aero.
Just for the record, can you state your name and who you're with?
I'm just a resident. My name is Chris Planbeck.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right,
yeah,
good.
We have one of the best mechanics on the East Coast right here, Sussex Aero. I don't just see that. I'm not the only one to feel that way. There's a lot of other people feel that way, too.
Anything else from the field?
I'm just curious, if you had a aircraft accident or incident, what kind of coordination do you guys have? Fire department?
You want to also state your name first so we know who you are?
It's Brady Muller, and I currently work up at Newcastle County Airport.
Very good. Thank you.
It's all done through the Emergency Operations Center and coordinating with Dover Approach. Depends on where the accident happens and how it happens. But the fire department, the local fire department, gets notified, and all the emergency response gets all handled through the EOC here, the 911 center.
Was there a specific concern there? Or?
No concern. I was just curious. We have our own fire department on the airport up there, Airport 139. Just curious what the response times were.
Yeah, we've had, last year we had, was it last year we had that small plane that I think it was a Piper Colt that crashed in the infield?
A couple years ago.
Yeah, which if you look on the picture here, that dark area in the middle, that's the grass that burned
right
during all that.
Right,
so.
Right that here. Cool. As far as response times, the local fire company's right here in town.
Yeah, not as fast as being on the field, but.
And do they have phone?
They have radio. They have communications with the aircraft, and they have communications to the 911 center, which has communications tied into Dover.
And do they use AFFF, the phone?
They what?
Do they use the phone?
Yes. They have the foam. I don't think they've ever used it since I've been here.
They didn't use types. There was the AFFF, and then the animal, the, where they made foam out of animal stuff at one time.
I'm not sure what the that's something you have to talk to the Georgetown Fire Company about.
Okay. Anything else from the public? Thank you for your comments. And we're going to set our next meeting date, which by custom would be May 22nd. It's the fourth Thursday of May.
Wednesday.
Fourth Wednesday, sorry. And that is the week before Memorial Day weekend. So are there anybody have any major conflicts with that weekend?
I'll be at Test Pilot School that whole weekend, the following week, so I won't be.
Okay.
In 2 weeks I'll be out of school.
Let's go ahead and we'll schedule, other than Larry, I don't hear any major conflicts. We'll schedule for May 22nd, 6 p.m. here at the 911 office.
May 22nd?
May 22nd.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. And just need a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor? Say aye. Very good. Thank you.